I mentioned this morning that I had been invited to the summer series at Owosso this last Wednesday night. And so what I thought I'd do this afternoon, we've kind of been doing Psalms on Sunday evening, but I thought it'd be a good change of pace. I would go ahead and give you the abbreviated version of what I did at Owosso. Abbreviated because they really did tell me to go until I was finished, and no one here has ever told me that. So I'll just give you the abbreviated version of kind of the thoughts I shared at Owosso. Their summer series was on the theme of God wants you to be fill-in-the-blank Christian. So it could be God wants you to be a prayerful Christian, or God wants you to be a holy Christian or something. The topic they assigned me was God wants you to be a knowledgeable Christian. And I had a couple of thoughts to share about that and the importance of pursuing knowledge of God. First of all, though, I want to give you four things I don't mean by that. I think sometimes we can become enamored with knowledge and intellect, and it can mislead us as to what Christ actually wants from us. So let me tell you four things I don't mean when I say that God wants you to be a knowledgeable Christian. First of all, I don't mean that there's going to be a pop quiz on the Day of Judgment. In the Egyptian Book of the Dead, when you get to the other side of the river, they ask you questions, and you have to be able to give the right answer, or you don't get ferried on down the river. And in Islam, they have the same belief. On the Day of Judgment, when you die, Munkar and Nakir meet you, two little angels, and they ask you questions. Who is your God? Who is his prophet? What is your religion? And you're supposed to say, there's no God but Allah, Muhammad is his prophet, and Islam is his religion, or something along those lines. So there's a pop quiz at the end. Well, Christianity doesn't have a pop quiz. As far as I know, I study my Bible cover to cover. And there's not a rote catechism that you're supposed to memorize in order to repeat it as if God's looking for a pass or fail test at the end. There's a whole lot more to Christianity. I wish it were that simple. I wish it were that simple. You get to the Day of Judgment. Who is your Lord? Jesus. Thank you. Enter in. Good and faithful servant. That'd be fantastic. It doesn't work that way. Instead, he's looking at you to live a kind of life that's an imitation of Christ. So don't think that knowledge is going to get you through some magic test at the end that you'll pass with flying colors. That's not the way it works. There have been lots of knowledgeable people who have not had the character of Christ and I think have suffered for it. Furthermore, second thing I don't mean when I say you should be a knowledgeable Christian, I don't mean that only those that truly understand please God. You got to know a lot to be a Christian, and that's also false. I hope you learn and you enjoy learning and you continue to learn throughout your life as a Christian. But there is really not any threshold of knowledge that I know of in Scripture that says if you don't know at least this much, well, God's just not happy. You need to study some more. God always wants you to learn. But when you look in your Bible, Lonnie White used to ask me this question, what's the least a person can know and be a Christian? And he would bother me with that question because it's a hard question to answer. And that's why he asked me, because he was a pest. But he would ask me that question, what's the least a person? And you go looking in your Bible, and it's not easy to answer, is it? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those that diligently seek him. That's putting the bar pretty low. That's not a lot of information. Is there more? I assume somewhere in the 66 books of the Bible, there's maybe something else you're supposed to know. But the Bible just doesn't come out and say, here is the list of things you have to know, and if you haven't jumped over this little hurdle, well, then you just don't know enough yet. In Corinth, I've mentioned this here before, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, they're talking about the food offered to idols. And Paul says, we know that there is one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in all, and one Lord Jesus Christ, who's above all and through all and in all. And then in verse 7 he says, but not all of you have this knowledge. There were Christians at Corinth who weren't sure how many gods there were. They had been converted out of paganism. They had baggage. They were still working through it. They knew enough to know that Jesus was Lord. They weren't sure if that meant Zeus wasn't. And they were struggling with it. And Paul doesn't say, run them out of the church. They're ignorant. He says, they need to learn. But we'll accommodate. If that means we can't eat food offered to idols, then we'll not eat food offered to idols and help them figure this out, because we're going to help them to learn. So my point is, we sometimes get kind of a condescending attitude. Well, unless you're really smart, you can't be a Christian. And you read the Corinthian letter, and it's quite the opposite, isn't it? The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. That there are very simple things you can know about God that are pleasing to him, It doesn't require a doctorate in theology or anything such thing in order to satisfy him. That's what the Gnostics taught. The Gnostics, the word Gnostic means to know. And they went around telling them, where are the Christians who really know, we really understand? And throughout the Bible, they're reminded they didn't know anything. Third, what's something else I don't mean? I don't mean when I say you should be a knowledgeable Christian, that means everyone should be a teacher. I've heard that before. Everyone should be developing into a teacher. That should be your goal. I think it's a nice goal. It's a good goal. It is not a necessary goal. There are some people who don't need to be teachers. This is where I disagree with some of my beloved brethren on this topic. I've got friends, and every time I talk to them, they say something like, boy, we just need more preachers in the brotherhood. And my response is always the same. I think there's a few of them that need to get out of the business. I think we've got too many preachers as it is, right? Not everybody ought to be preaching. Not everybody ought to be teaching. It's not a job for everybody. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, be not many teachers. It's not for everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11 says, there are a variety of gifts and a variety of services distributed as the Spirit wills. And they're not all the same. So not everybody has to be a teacher. I hope that you want to develop. I hope that you develop skills and get out of your comfort zone and try things you haven't done before. But when I say that you need to be a knowledgeable Christian, I don't mean that everybody has to be a teacher. And finally, when I say that you need to be a knowledgeable Christian, I don't mean that knowledge is the ultimate good. In the churches of Christ, we have a great blessing that sometimes is a curse. We really do emphasize knowledge, and that's fantastic. We emphasize Bible study. I told you before, I have a good friend who is a minister in a community church. And he asked me, he says, what does a week for the Church of Christ member look like? And I said, well, we have a Bible class at 9:30 on Sunday. We have our worship service, and I'll preach a while. And then I'll preach some more, and then I'll preach some more. And then we have Bible study at Sunday night. And then we come back on Wednesday night, and we have some more Bible study. He says, you get your people to show up to that many Bible study? He couldn't believe that. He says, that's outrageous. I can't imagine people who want to study that much. And I said, yeah, that's what we do. That's great. You know, I was really proud of that. That's fantastic. You know, that's really great. Well, that's a great blessing. In the churches of Christ, we have long had an emphasis on learning. That's good. The possible danger is that we decide knowledge is the ultimate good. And we forget that knowledge is a tool to help us do something. Knowledge helps us do something. Having the knowledge by itself is of no value to us. Knowledge as the ultimate good is just another false god that needs to be torn down. Knowledge as a servant of God allows God to lift you up and to do the things that he wants to accomplish in this world. So keeping that straight, those four things I think are important. So what do I mean when I say you need to be a knowledgeable Christian? Just three quick points. This is the Reader's Digest version, and then I'll turn the lesson back to you. For 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, has one of the loveliest statements about knowledge you're likely to find. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. What is the goal of knowledge, and why should you be a knowledgeable Christian? Because first of all, it is the knowledge of God that conquers everything else. It's the knowledge of God that helps us to see what is real and what is fake, what is meaningful and what is illusory, what is permanent and what is temporary. That it's the knowledge of God that helps us make sense of a world full of lies. It conquers the arguments. It tears down the strongholds. And then above all, and I love that last expression, to take every thought captive. There's a battle, and the goal is to take every thought captive to obey Christ. What that tells me is not just biblical knowledge, that there is not a single kind of knowledge that cannot be made to serve Christ in some way. If you can learn it, you can harness it in God's service. It doesn't matter what field your area of expertise is, you can find a way to serve Christ better with that knowledge. People with a medical background, we need lots of people helping us make these difficult decisions. From a Christian point of view, I was asked a question the other day about stem cell research. You want to know what I know about stem cells? Nothing, okay? Just about nothing. We need people with that background to help us end-of-life decisions. They're complicated. The doctor explains it to you the best he can, and you still don't feel like you understand it. And you don't know if your doctor is a Christian or taking any of those considerations into view. And you have terrible choices to make. We need people with that knowledge taken captive to serve Christ. Science background, handyman background. We have people all across this congregation that need service and need information. They might get a bid from a local contractor. They just need to know if it's a good bid or not. If they ask me, I tell them, I have no idea. I don't have that information. Some of you do. There's not a single thing you could possibly know that you couldn't learn that couldn't be harnessed and taken captive to serve Christ. And certainly that's true of biblical knowledge. Even the most strangely trivial detail turns out to be splendidly important when you take it captive and make it a servant of Christ. We also need to be knowledgeable Christians. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 3 through 7, we studied in our pastoral class on Sunday night of the pastoral epistles. And it talks about how there will always be people who talk more than they know. Or as the old preachers used to say, have knowledge beyond their intellect. That know more than they have the capacity to know. And they love to tell you. That passage talks about people who don't even know what they're affirming. I mean, they want to be a teacher. I said earlier, not everybody should be. They want to be a teacher. It seems like a good thing to do. And they get up and they teach. And maybe they don't know what they're talking about. You need to be a knowledgeable teacher, knowledgeable Christian, not just so you can teach. That's great if you can. But so you can know the difference of what's going on in the pulpit. To be aware of that. Your elders need your expertise and your wisdom. You know, your leaders, your Bible class teachers, they need your support when difficult decisions arise. Because there's always somebody who knows less who says more. And we need to do the opposite. We need more people who know more and speak when it's necessary. And that's the avenue of knowledge I think is important. Finally, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 through 18. And the King James will say, study to show thyself to prove unto God. In most of the modern translations, the word study disappears because it's not really in the Greek text. The Greek term is give diligence or give all that you have, give every energy, all of your endeavor to be a servant of God, to show yourself a workman that does not need to be ashamed. I took a class in May, an intercession class at Oklahoma Christian. The assignments were due in July. I haven't finished them yet. When I was on campus Tuesday, I was dodging the professor. You know why? Because I didn't want to make eye contact. I didn't want him to see me and have to explain why I wasn't done because I was embarrassed. That's what that passage means. You give all of your diligence so that you don't have to be ashamed of the work you're done. I would much rather look him in the eye and say, finished, done on time, and I did the best I could. Okay? Someday I stand before God in judgment, and there's no amount of work I could ever do that could justify what he's offering in Christ Jesus. But I would hate to have to hide under the table and say, yeah, I really didn't even give it a shot. To be a knowledgeable Christian means to look into his word and to try to see what it is that God wants you to be doing with your life so that you don't have to be ashamed of the life that you're living in his son, Christ Jesus. Alexander Pope wrote between 1688 and 1744, a little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or taste not the Pierian spring. Their shallow draughts intoxicate the brain, and drinking largely sobers us again. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Learn lots. Go out into the deep end and become the most knowledgeable Christian you can be. Swim out there in the unanchored waters and try to see what you can learn. Because it's in that knowledge that we learn to serve God to the fullest that we possibly can. If you know what you're supposed to be doing and you haven't done it, or you've done it and walked away from it, this is the time and place to return to Christ in faithful obedience. As we stand to sing a word of encouragement, won't you come at this time?
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me.